Psalm 23, a psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Well, this morning we're going to look at what is probably the best-loved psalm in the whole of the Bible, Psalm 23. And if any passage of Scripture is set to reassure us that the Lord is our refuge, then it is surely this one, Psalm 23. Those wonderful opening words are full of reassurance and authority and certainty. The Lord is my shepherd. It's a great start, isn't it? But immediately I quote that verse, I can almost hear someone that's new to this objecting and saying, well, hang on a minute. Who on earth wants to be thought of as a sheep? Sheep are maybe a reassuring sight on the fields of our country, but anyone who's had very much to do with sheep, we know them to be stupid, obstinate, easily led astray, and unthinking animals. They're cute, for sure. But really? You want to be thought of as a sheep? Who wants to be thought of as a sheep? It's an insult, isn't it? Well, yes, until you see a sheep with a shepherd when he enters a field. Stupid and obstinate as they are, it's wonderful to watch sheep literally flock around their shepherd, jostling with each other to get close to him. As close to him as they can. They trust his leadership, even when they don't know what is ahead. They're sure that he will help and hold and heal them, even when they're weak and lame. And they're certain that he will protect them and support them, and push away all of the threats and uncertainty, so that whatever they face, it's irrelevant, providing they're with him. If ever I want to find someone who is at times stupid and obstinate and who, truth be told, needs a shepherd, well, actually, all I really need to do is to go and look in the mirror in our hallway, and I'll be looking straight back at myself, because sometimes, I'm sorry to say, I characterize exactly that. But you know, also, I can look in the mirror of God's word, the Bible. And it describes what I and other human beings are like extremely well, and characterizes us as people who can fulfill all of those negative things very easily. But can I say that before anyone takes offense, let me point out that it's really telling that this psalm is written by the very guy who, of all the people that you could mention in the Old Testament, great King David, of David and Goliath fame, well, he's the least likely person that you would think of as going to need a shepherd. And yet, nobody knew more about being a shepherd than David did. In fact, when he was a teenager, the Old Testament prophet Samuel came to Bethlehem, the town that he lived in, to anoint the king whom God has chosen. He came to David's dad's house, and having interviewed each of his brothers, he said, no, there must be one more. And David was called in because, as 1 Samuel chapter 16 records, David was tending the sheep. David was a shepherd. When confronting giant Goliath, Israel's anointed but not yet crowned young King David, well, he knew what to do, because as he says to his predecessor, bad King Saul, in 1 Samuel chapter 17, your servant, he said, has been keeping his father's sheep And when the lion or the bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it, struck it on the head, rescued the sheep from its mouth. And when it turned on me, I seized it by its hair, struck it and killed it. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, because he has defied the armies of the living God. David knew all about being a shepherd, and he knew all about trusting in the Lord as his shepherd. David knew what it meant to be with his sheep, leading them, loving them, caring for them, and rescuing them as well. And therefore, to specify that of all people that needed a shepherd, that he needed one and that the Lord was his shepherd, well, it was for David, in a very real sense that it isn't for most of us, to express an intimacy and a dependence on God that exactly described exactly what he meant. David knew what it meant to say, the Lord is my shepherd. So right at the start this morning, I quoted the Lord Jesus from John chapter 10, speaking of himself as the good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep. And if we were to look at John chapter 10, towards the early on in the New Testament, we would see that the Lord Jesus makes a big distinction between the hired hand and the shepherd. Let me turn you to John chapter 10 and verse 12. If we were in our building in Golden Avenue, I'd tell you the page number of the church Bible, but of course we're not. Jesus said in John 10 verse 12, "The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he, the hired hand, sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away." The point that he's making is that the shepherd has a whole different relationship. It's closer to the sheep. The sheep are more dependent. The shepherd cares. And if you have a shepherd, then you really want it to be a good one. And David, as he writes Psalm 23, knows very well that the Lord is the best shepherd ever. Look again at verse 1 with me of Psalm 23. He says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want." Literally, because the Lord is my shepherd, I will lack nothing, he says. Because what this shepherd does proves it. Look at verse 2. This shepherd is the best shepherd ever, because he gives the needed rest. He makes me lie down, verse 2, in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. A shepherd cares for the sheep not simply as a job, but as a calling. He's interested in what the sheep need. They need rest and good food. So he takes them to green grassy meadows where they'll be well fed, and quiet restful waters where they'll be refreshed. If you're familiar with the Bible, then you might have spotted that this theme of rest is one that is carried all the way through, from those early days in the Garden of Eden, where God looked at all that he had made and said it was very good, right the way through to the rest that God's people were looking for in the Promised Land, and finally to the end of the Bible, where they're looking for real rest, described in those closing chapters of an amazing book of Revelation, as the place where God's people will find rest and peace forever. As shepherd of his people, God blesses them and what they need, both on the journey and at its end, as we'll see, they need rest. The Lord is the best shepherd ever, because he gives the sheep the rest they need, and he gives them the repairing, the restoration of soul that is broken. Look at verse 3 again. It continues, "He restores my soul," it says. To have your soul restored means, on the one hand, to be spiritually renewed. So Psalm 19 says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul." But on the other hand, the cry and lamentations of the one who is so desperate to know God, under whom they are suffering judgment, says, Lamentations 1, "This is why I weep and my eyes overflow with tears. No one is near to comfort me, no one to restore my spirit." But the person that knows God as their shepherd knows that he restores their soul. The role of a shepherd that the Lord takes on here is one that is stunningly intimate. Derek Kidner, the theologian and Bible commentator, in his commentary on this psalm says, God would not have taken a flock, a family, if he had not intended that the two would be bound up together with one another. Do you know, the story is told of a poor Welsh shepherd boy who knew a little of the Bible. He knew the story of the Lord Jesus dying for him. He was semi-literate, and he had learned the opening verses of Psalm 23 by hand. He remembered them this way: the Lord is my shepherd. As the story continues, one night this young shepherd boy got into a snowstorm on the mountain, and he was lost in the snow. Search parties came out to find him, and when finally they found him huddled by a rock, sadly already frozen to death. Yet when they tried to move him, they found that his finger was holding tightly to the word "my" in his memory verse. The Lord is my shepherd. Do you see? He trusted the shepherd, and the shepherd took him home to glory. As part of a role of a shepherd is to lead his flock on the right paths. And the shepherd's reputation would depend in part on not leading them to dead ends or paths too difficult for them. The Lord does that. Look again at verse 4. He guides them on the right paths. It says, he guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. In other words, because his reputation depends on it. And the point is that a good shepherd who is good at his job knows very well where the right paths are for his flock to walk, and so that he gets them where he wants them to be, he leads them there. He leads them that way because his reputation, his good name, is at stake. People who know the Lord as their shepherd know very well that they can trust him to lead them. Even when life seems rocky, he is with them and sustains them and blesses them. As a church, on Sunday mornings before the COVID-19 crisis started, we were working our way through the Old Testament book of Deuteronomy. Now, let me turn you just for a moment to Deuteronomy chapter 4. If you have a Bible, you may like to turn to it. It's the fifth book in the Old Testament, the fifth book in the Bible, actually. And Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 5, let me read this to you. Where Moses, this is a series of sermons, effectively one big sermon from Moses as he leads people towards the promised land, as they're on the verge of the promised land. And he says these words to them. He says, "See, I have taught you decrees and laws that the Lord my God commanded me, so that you may follow them in the land you're entering to take possession of it. Observe them carefully, for this will show your wisdom and understanding to the nations, who will hear about all these decrees and say, 'Surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. What other nation is so great as to have their gods near them the way the Lord our God is near us whenever we pray to him? And what other nation is so great as to have such righteous decrees and laws as this body of laws that I'm setting before you today?'" Knowing God doesn't mean knowing his law so that we're in a straitjacket, but rather knowing God as our shepherd means that we follow his ancient wisdom for life, even as it gets tough. And we find he keeps his promises. And even he keeps his promises when the path that runs through difficult territory. Look again, this time at verse 4. "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death," writes David, "I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." Have you noticed how the picture changes? The Lord is the best shepherd ever because he walks alongside. What the shepherd does here is to come alongside and escort his flock through this dangerous valley. He carries a rod to defend them, and he carries a staff to control them and to whack them back into place. He guides them that way. It's tough, but it's great. But still, he leads on as no other guide or companion can. Whether this valley is simply the darkest valley or whether it's death's dark valley, actually, that's irrelevant. You see, it's just worth remembering that in every path of life, there are guides available. Good ones and bad ones. But when it comes to the last path of life, the path of death, which one day all of us must walk down, well, only the Lord can guide us through that path. Because the Lord is the only one that has trodden that path and come out the other side. Every other guide must turn back. He doesn't turn back ever. We thought last week of the great hope of the account of Easter, that Jesus has taken the penalty of hell that we deserve for our rebellion and sin against God, and 3 days later rose again from the dead, proving it had worked and conquering death forever. Jesus is the good shepherd, we read, who lays down his life for the sheep. He is the only one that can walk alongside us as a guide through death, because he is the only one who has walked that path before. That truth is relevant for all of our lives, for all of us under, well, ordinary circumstances. But let me say very carefully and cautiously that it's especially relevant at the moment. One of the most awful features of the coronavirus COVID-19 situation is the tragic circumstances where people are fearful of dying alone. But this passage promises that for those for whom the Lord is their shepherd, we are never alone, even through the darkest valley. This shepherd is the only one who can bring us through such a dark valley, not just intact, but in triumph. Look at that last couple of verses of the psalm. Verse 5, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies." That scene might not sound very pleasant, a table prepared with your enemies watching on, but read what it says. See, if those enemies have been brought there by the shepherd, using his rod and his staff, well, they must have been beaten. And if those enemies have been defeated, such that you came through the dark valley safely, then the scene changes, not from one of confusion, but to one of triumph, of celebration. And that's what he does. "You anoint my head with oil," which is, in their culture, a point of celebration. It's like doing your hair up. "My cup overflows." In other words, it's a time of plenty. It's a time to celebrate, to be joyful, to be glad. This shepherd is not just your guide. He is your God. And he's not just your carer. He's the conqueror. And he's not just your helper. He's your friend. To be a guest at his table is not a temporary affair. His love will last forever, for you will be with him forever. You can count on his goodness. It doesn't change. You can be sure of his love, because it is unconditional, better than unconditional, for it took Jesus to the cross. "And they will follow," says David, literally, "they will pursue me." His goodness and his love will follow me all the days of my life. "And I will dwell in the house of the Lord." In other words, I will dwell with God forever. You know, David's testimony about God as his shepherd is hugely reassuring, and it is hugely comforting. God is our refuge. Trusting him, there is no better refuge. But when you take those same words and read them through the New Testament eyes, through the person of the Lord Jesus, David's greater son, then they are earthed in an even more accessible picture. Look again with me at John chapter 10. If you looked it up earlier on, then turn back there. And if you didn't, then please just listen. John chapter 10. I'm going to read this time the whole of the section from verse 11 right the way through to verse 16. Jesus says this: I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and turns away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. It is somewhat insulting to be called a sheep, but not if Jesus is your shepherd, who has died and risen again. That is great news if you can say, the Lord is my shepherd. But before we finish, we need to see that this psalm warns us as well. You see, you can read this lovely Psalm 23 in the negative, and it's not so lovely. Let's just read it as a warning before we close. You see, if you read it in the negative, it says this: if the Lord is not my shepherd, then I shall be in want. He will not make me lie down in green pastures. He will not lead me beside quiet waters. He will not restore my soul. He will not guide me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear evil, for you are not with me, and your rod and your staff, they will not comfort me. You will not prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You will not anoint my head with oil, and my cup will not overflow. Surely goodness and love will not follow me all the days of my life, and I will not dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Can you see how you could take the psalm as a warning? And it's a stark warning. And it's so unnecessary, because Jesus is the good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep. He died so that we might be able to read Psalm 23 with confidence and say, like the boy in the story, the Lord is my shepherd. All you have to do is turn and say, I don't want to shepherd myself anymore. Please, Lord, save me. And he'll do that. Why don't you do that today?